and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy and Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. If there is one universal problem across this country, it is finding and hiring quality technicians. Today, Jim Booth will share lots of practical suggestions on how to simplify the process. Jim has been with Grandy & Associates since 1991 and presents seminars across the country on customer service and customer relations for technicians, as well as train-the-trainer sessions for owners. Prior to working with Grandy & Associates, Jim was the sales manager for a multi-location wholesaler, which gave him all sorts of practical experience in working with owners as well as technicians. Today's low unemployment rate requires contractors to have an edge in finding and hiring additional technicians. Today's tape will give you that edge.
Finding qualified people to staff all of the positions in your company is becoming more of a challenge every day. With the labor force shrinking and fewer young people entering the service and trades industries, it's important to recruit the type of employees who will stay with your company. Recruiting qualified candidates who are willing to learn on the job and spend the time attending formal training also seems to be tougher. I hear this complaint all the time. My new employees feel like they know everything, and they do not need to be taught all the things that I feel are important. Recruiting is just the first step in filling your job openings. Once you have someone interested in working for your company, you need to go through the hiring process. This is not always easy, for you might find it's hard to determine whether you have made the correct decision in choosing someone to fill your position. The toughest task is keeping the people you really want. Your competitors are constantly looking for people to fill their positions. If you do your job of properly training someone, you have to worry about your competitors stealing your newly trained employees. The objective of this business tape is to give you information and ideas which will make your job easier when recruiting key employees. You will learn how to evaluate your job hiring skills. You'll learn how to develop job descriptions for the key spots in your company. You will learn how to conduct a job audit. And you will learn where to look for qualified people to fill your positions. In his excellent tape called Techs, Where Are the Techs, Ron Obrensky gave us some good ideas on where to find technicians in all the different service and trades industries you might work in. What I want to concentrate in this tape are the nuts and bolts of the recruiting process. When you first started your business, you probably never thought that your employees would present the biggest hassle you would face in running your company. No, like most of your fellow owners and managers, your primary concern when you started was probably, 1, where do I come up with the cash to start the business? 2, what kind of competition will I face? And 3, are my customers going to like me? Then you experienced something all growing companies experience. Your company got busy, and you had to face the tough question all owners face. How many employees do I need? Where do I find them? And how much do I pay them? Well, maybe you first enlisted your wife in the business. She volunteered to answer the phones, handle the paperwork, and collect the money. But something else happened along the way. Either your wife got tired of working for little or no pay, or she and you decided to hire someone to help out in the office. Regardless, you found yourself with a new job title, Director of Human Resources, or just another fancy word for Personnel Director. Let's take a worst-case scenario and put you in the position of having to staff your company in quick order. Whatever trade you're involved in, the problems are all the same. You are relying on people to be conscientious, on time, loyal, and trustworthy. In our scenario, you arrive at the office on Monday morning, rested and ready for the week ahead. The 3 installation jobs you sold 2 weeks ago are ready to be completed this week. Your service department is busy for the next 2 weeks, and you even have your taxes paid for the quarter. Everything is running smoothly, or so you think, as you leave your home. Your service manager is the first one to greet you as you get out of your car. It seems that he just got a call from 2 of your servicemen, and they've decided to head down the street and start work for your competitor. It seems your competitor offered them 75 cents an hour pay increase. Your 2 guys jumped all over this offer, and they're already long gone. Not to be outdone, your installation manager informs you that one of your installation crews packed up and moved to New Zealand to start their own fishing charter service. About this time, you're thinking nothing else could go wrong when you enter the office and find that your office administrator is crying because she's just broken up with her boyfriend of 5 years, and she doesn't know what she wants to do with the rest of her life, and maybe she'll move back to Nebraska. What do you do? Like some employers, you quickly look through that stack of papers you had on your desk to see if that guy still wants to purchase your company. Then you could join the guys going to New Zealand. Or, like some owners, you panic and hire the first warm body that walks in the door. You may decide to run an ad in the newspaper that day, just hoping that an able-bodied person with a great personality, superior technical skills, married with a solid family life, and a person with a strong back will enter the door ready to solve all of your problems. Trust me, this probably isn't going to happen. If this person does exist, he or she is most certainly already working for someone else. Your problems with employee staffing are not going to go away until you take the time to follow these four steps. Number one, you need to evaluate your job hiring skills. Number two, you need to design a job description for every position in your company. Number three, you need to conduct a job audit. And number four, you need a one-page policy manual. If you will take the time to create these four important tools, you will solve many of your employee problems. The scenario described above occurs more often than you would think. The owner or manager waits until there's an emergency, and then the hiring process begins its convoluted life. More often than not, the owner's expectations are unrealistic. He or she expects to find tens, and there just aren't that many out there. So, before you jump into hiring someone to fill a spot, almost knowing that you're going to go through the painful process again, take the time to evaluate your job hiring skills. The first step in developing a successful recruiting program is to take stock of how you and your managers go about hiring people. Do you have the skills necessary to hire someone, or do you need to improve your hiring skills? After all, the process really starts with the person doing the hiring. What are their expectations, their experiences with hiring people, their prejudices, and their attitudes? For example, it may not make much sense to have the service manager hiring service techs when the manager has no experience in the field. How does the manager know what kind of questions to ask to begin with? There are 10 questions you should ask yourself when you check your job hiring skills. Number one, does your current hiring system result in high turnover? Number two, do the people doing the hiring know what they are looking for? Number three, are you realistic in evaluating the qualities of your applicants? Number four, have you studied the way your competition recruits their applicants? Number five, are you tracking the costs of recruiting an employee? Number six, what attributes do your top performers have? Number seven, do you have a source of new applicants at all times? Number eight, would you work for your company? Number nine, do you consider current employees to fill your positions? And number 10, do you spend time to welcome and train your new employees in how the company procedures operate? Number one, let's go back to that. Does your current hiring system result in high turnover? If your current hiring system results in a high turnover ratio, and in the service and trades industry it's about 34%, then it's time to review how you are hiring people and what you're looking for. Perhaps your expectations are too high, or perhaps you are limiting the number of qualified applicants because of prejudices you may have. For example, you may have worked in the field for 25 years before you became the service manager. Your extensive field experience may cloud your view of who qualifies for the job. If you decide that the only person you will hire is someone with the same number of years' experience as yours, then the number of applicants is limited right away. Number two, do the people doing the hiring really know what they are looking for? Did you just give one of your managers the task because you're too busy or you feel you're too important to conduct the hiring process yourself? It's very important to list the characteristics of the job before you ever sit down with the applicant. By taking the time to meet with your managers before you assign them the duty of hiring employees, you have the opportunity to outline what characteristics you both are looking for. Remember, your manager probably will be working with a new employee in their department much more of the time than you will. There's also a residual benefit to meeting with your managers. By taking the time to outline the characteristics, you build their confidence in your managers that you trust their judgment and their input. Number three, are you realistic in evaluating the qualities of your applicants? Going back to number one, by reviewing the number of employee turnovers you are experiencing, you will get a good idea real quickly how your evaluation process is working in finding qualified candidates for the positions you are offering. Let's take another example. Let's assume that you are trying to fill a position of installer. You would like to find someone with 3 to 5 years' experience, but your recruiting efforts just are not bringing in any applicants. Relax your job requirements a little and take a good look at the young man or woman who just sat down in front of you. Are they willing to work a steady 40 hours, and are they willing to be trained? Already you have someone who beats the industry averages, Number four, have you studied the way your competition recruits their applicants? The first thing you will probably say is, sure, their policy is to steal all my employees. Is there something you can learn out of this? Are they able to pay more because they operate more efficiently or because they charge a higher labor rate and get it? Before you assume that the only way your competition fills their job positions is by stealing your employees away from you, take a realistic look at how they do recruit. Number five, are you tracking the cost of recruiting an employee? You might be amazed at how much it costs you in time, money, and company resources to recruit employees. There's the financial cost of advertising, training, lost productivity, lost customer business, and a variety of other factors which contribute to real dollars. How valuable is the time of the interviewer, the trainer, and the employee you lost whose spot you're trying to fill? Number six, what attributes do your top performers have? As you review your hiring skills, do you look at the quality characteristics your best employees have? Make a list of the things you like about this group of employees. It's a valuable exercise because it helps you identify the things you should look for when recruiting employees for your team. Examples might be things like, my best employees arrive on time, they're dressed neatly, they're clean-shaven, they have a good attitude, and a desire to help me make the company money. The next applicant should fit this profile. Am I going to hire them? Number seven, do you have a source of new applicants at all times? One of the most important tasks you can set for yourself is to keep a file of people you would consider for positions in your company. You may not have a position available at the present time, but knowing that you are always recruiting for your company will relieve some of the stress when the time comes to fill these jobs. Your file can include information on your instincts, such as, this person is a good listener and has great people and communication skills. Possible job as dispatcher. This person is very creative and outgoing. Possible position as salesperson. The examples can go on and on, but you get the idea. Keep a file on everyone you meet, whether it's a young man or woman waiting on you at your favorite restaurant. Keep a file of the things you like about this person. Who knows? They may be looking for a career change and would jump at the chance to work for you and your company. Number eight, would you work for your company? This is a loaded question. What kind of image does your company project to your employees, to your customers, and to the general public? Are you a great person to work for, or do your mood swings keep everyone on edge all of the time? By conducting an honest evaluation of your management skills and your leadership skills, you'll get a better idea of where you need to improve. But be realistic. If you would not work for your company because of the reputation you have, or the pay you offer, or the lack of benefits you provide, why would anyone else, unless they were desperate for a job? Are these the type of people you're recruiting? Number nine, do you consider current employees to fill your positions? Instead of looking outside of your company for recruits, do you take the time to evaluate your current employees for job openings? Looking at the advantages of filling job positions from within, number one, you get someone who is familiar with your company, your policies, and your customers. Number two, you show your other employees that everyone has an example to rise within the company. And number three, you show that you value the input of the people working for you and that you appreciate their loyalty. Remember, your employees can always choose to work for your competition. And number 10, do you spend the time to welcome and train your new employees in how the company procedures operate? I am constantly amazed at how little time is allocated to welcoming and training new employees. Most managers say something like, here's your truck or your desk, this is what you do, see you later. Think of how much time and money were spent just filling the position, and then you turn the new recruit over without explaining in detail all the things the job entails, such as where's the bathroom, when am I scheduled for lunch, what time do we close. In order to evaluate your job hiring skills, you need to rate yourself on the following 15 statements. While this discussion might seem like you're putting the cart before the horse, you need to evaluate yourself and others before you ever start the hiring process. Here are 15 statements you can answer with almost always, sometimes, or almost never. Each statement is designed to test your hiring skills. Number one, I can conduct a comprehensive interview. Number two, I develop job skills descriptions before the interview. Number three, I choose the applicants to match the job skills I need. Number four, I am familiar with federal, state, and local employment laws. Number five, I am familiar with questions which can be termed discriminatory. Number six, I prepare my questions in advance of the interview. Number seven, I am comfortable asking probing questions. Number eight, I avoid asking closed-ended questions. Number nine, I build rapport with the interviewee as soon as possible. Number 10, I use effective listening techniques. Number 11, I sell the company and the job. Number 12, I rate and rank each applicant. Number 13, I summarize my interview information. Number 14, I document each interview. And number 15, I begin with a plan. Let's take a look at these 15 points in a little more detail. Number 1, I can conduct a comprehensive interview. A comprehensive interview covers four distinct areas. A, a review and background check of the application and the resume. B, a discussion with the recruiter of your company, the position open, and the job duties. C, a period of questions and general discussion with the recruit. And D, summarizing the status of the interview and informing the recruit that they can expect to hear a response. Without these four things taking place, you've not conducted a comprehensive interview. You need to review carefully the application form and the resume in order to ask pertinent and relevant questions when you meet with the applicant. Otherwise, you're sitting in front of the recruit at a disadvantage. This may be the first time you've been exposed to their work history. It's also very important to discuss up front the position you're trying to fill, along with some of the job duties. You've probably heard of the interviewer who spent valuable time interviewing someone for one job when they thought that they were being interviewed for a position in a different department altogether. The questions you ask and the general discussion that takes place between you and the recruit are the most important area of the interview. The more prepared you are with your questions and the more comfortable you can make the recruit, the more successful your interview will be. Summarizing the status of the interview gives you and the recruit the opportunity to fill in any holes either one of you might have missed. And letting your recruit know how the selection process works is common courtesy and good business. You may not have a position open for this particular recruit at this time, but it's wise to wrap everything up on a positive note because you may want to hire this person down the road. Second statement we have is, I develop job skills descriptions before the interview. It's very important to create a list of the skills needed to handle the job, especially to avoid discrimination lawsuits. Forcing yourself to list the skills needed gives you a better look at the position you're trying to fill. Third statement you might consider is, I choose the applicant to match the job skills I need. In some cases, it makes sense to take the most qualified person, even though they have little experience working in the area you are looking for. Perhaps their work history and their ability to learn quickly influences you to assume that they can be trained for the position you have open. This is especially true in the service and trades industry because, for example, you may need to switch your service techs to installers when you get busy. However, be aware that trying to push a round peg into a square hole sometimes just does not work. Do not force people to do things they are not comfortable doing. Number 4, I am familiar with federal, state, and local employment laws. In order to protect yourself from discrimination lawsuits, it's imperative that you familiarize yourself with the hiring laws in your area. It ties in with number 5, which says, I am familiar with questions which can be termed discriminatory. Number 6, I prepare my questions in advance. By preparing your questions in advance, you make the interview move more smoothly. This makes you look more professional to your recruit and provides the information you need to make a wise selection. Remember, the recruit is interviewing you as much as you are interviewing them. You are trying to sell the recruit on the idea that your company is the place to work. Number 7, I am comfortable asking probing questions. If you are not comfortable, plan on making this one of the areas you target for improvement. Why? Because without asking the questions you really want answered, you will not get the information in many cases. Number 8, I avoid asking closed-ended questions. A closed-ended question can be answered yes or no. While these types of questions have a purpose, you get a quick and less involved answer, they provide little information. You need to ask open-ended questions that will draw a response from the applicant. Open-ended questions start with words like who, what, where, when, why, and how. They have to be answered with something other than a yes or no. Number 9, I build rapport with the interviewee right away. Many people are intimidated by the interview process, the interviewer and the person being interviewed. If you try to build some rapport with your applicant, you make it easier to ask tougher probing questions later on. How do you build rapport? Well, look for information in the candidate's application and resume. They'll give you some ideas on what to key on. Number 10, I use effective listening techniques. Get in the habit of listening more than you speak. Watch the body language and listen to the tone of voice as your recruit answers your questions. You'll learn a lot more about the recruit if you keep your mouth closed and listen. Number 11, I sell the company and the job. Usually, you're the one looking for help. Sell yourself first your company second, and the job third. Make the recruit think that this is the best place in town to work. After all, aren't you trying to fill a position for the long run? Number 12, I summarize my interview information. We discussed this above, but it's important enough to include again. Summarizing the status of the interview gives you and the recruit the opportunity to fill in any holes either one of you might have missed. And letting your recruit know how the selection process works is common courtesy in good business. While you may not have a position open for this particular recruit at this time, it's wise to wrap everything up on a positive note because you may want to hire this person in the future. Number 13, I rate and rank each applicant. Do this after the recruit has left your office. You might want to make a spreadsheet with all the applicants listed on the left side of the page and across the top all the attributes you are looking for. Rank them on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being your top number. This will help you later when you try to remember the applicants you really liked. Number 14, I document each interview. It's important to document each interview for several reasons. A, to protect you from discrimination lawsuits, and B, to collect your thoughts and arrange the information you just received. If you interview more than four people, how can you keep all the facts straight? And number 15, I begin with a plan. Beginning with a plan helps you organize your thoughts and the questions you need to ask. Having a plan gives you the advantage during the interview. If you have a plan in mind before you begin the interview process, you have a better chance of getting the person you want. For example, your plan might include finding out how each of your applicants responds to a question regarding customer relations. You might ask them, "How would you handle this particular situation?" After you've done an audit of your job hiring skills, the next thing you need to do is take a look at the job descriptions you want to fill. One of the most tedious but most important tasks you can undertake in the recruiting process is to develop a job description for each position in your company. Why? Because the job description will benefit you four ways. A job description indicates how the position fits in with the rest of the company. A job description outlines the parameters of the position. The job description can be used to measure the employee's performance, and the job description includes the skills and requirements of the job. As a new employee, one of the worst feelings you can have is not knowing exactly what's expected of you in your new position. Questions pop into the employee's mind, such as, "Am I doing the right things? How does this job fit in with my department and the company? What is the purpose of this job in the overall scheme of things? And how do I know I'm doing a good job?" By creating job descriptions, you also have these benefits. If you're involved in a labor claim, having a job description on paper can help protect your rights as an employer. A clear job description will cut down on turnover because the applicant will have a clear understanding of what is required before they assume the position. Third, communication between department managers and personnel will improve because everyone will have a better idea what their job entails. And the fourth benefit is providing a job description lays the foundation for how the job can evolve. Let's look at 15 different bits of information in a job description. First information bit is, what is the job title? How are you going to refer to this person? What moniker can you give them that will add some prestige and personal gratification to the position they are going to assume? What's the main purpose of the job? This is very important for you because you should be able to justify the purpose of the job to everyone in your company. What are the essential duties? What exactly is this person going to be doing? What duties are more important than others? What are their main priorities? What are the main priorities of the job? Number 5, who are your supervisors? Who does a recruit report to? How often is the person evaluated? And what are the parameters of the evaluation? Number 6, what's the location of the job? Where will the person be working? In what department and at what physical location? Number 7, what deadlines are involved? What are you expecting of the applicant in the way of deadlines? When are they responsible for performing their duties? Number 8, salary grade and range. What's the range of salaries available and how can the recruit advance within the present system? Number 9, what's the work schedule? What hours, days, vacation, and sick time procedures are there involved with the job? Number 10, job summary. Can you summarize the job in several sentences? Number 11, what are the duties, responsibilities, and authority? Who's responsible to the recruit? What authority does the recruit have to hire and fire personnel in their department? And what are their primary responsibilities and duties? Number 12, what are the job requirements as far as education, skills, and prior work experience? How much experience does a recruit need, and can they substitute real-life experience for educational requirements? Number 13, what are the working conditions? Does a recruit need to know about dangerous or rigid working conditions? Number 14, what equipment and tools are to be used? Does the recruit supply their own tools, or are they provided by the company? Is there a tool allowance? Are there special tools they need to be familiar with in order to perform the job? And number 15, what kind of contact will the recruit have with customers? How often will the recruit be in contact with the customer, and what's expected of the recruit? This is the second part of the overall recruiting process. The first thing you did was that you evaluated your job hiring skills. The second thing you did was you developed a job description for each position in your company that you want to fill. The third section is to develop a job audit. If you agree that having a job description is a good idea, then the next step is to begin by looking at the current jobs people in your organization perform and get their input as to how they conduct these jobs. Follow these steps to conduct an effective job audit. Number one, while interviewing your current employees, you write a description of all the things they do on the job. Having the employee write the description invites bias and a false sense of what is involved in performing the work. With this job description in hand, ask your current employees for suggestions they have for improving the job. Ask them what tasks they feel could be eliminated from the job, and find what tasks they perform that are not listed on the job description. As you conduct your job audit, several questions are going to come to mind. It's important to take the time to ask the questions and listen to the answers from the person currently performing the job. Number one, what additional training or tools do you need to successfully perform the job? Number two, who supervises this employee and how easy is it to talk to the supervisor? Number three, whom does the employee interact with in the company? Number four, what kind of contact does the employee have with vendors and customers? Number five, does the employee have adequate time to complete the duties of the job? Number six, are there technical skills available which would enhance the performance of the employee? Number seven, how does management evaluate the employee in this position? And number eight, are there suggestions for improving the evaluation process? If you'll go through these points, you'll have a complete job audit and something to base your job descriptions on. The next thing we want to take a look at in the recruiting process is the development of a policy manual or a mission statement. It's a good idea to have some form of policy manual for your company. The reasons are many, but the primary reason is to protect you from unsubstantiated claims by disgruntled employees. Rather than develop a large, unwieldy policy manual that no one will read, why not design a single sheet with your philosophies included? You can cover topics such as how to treat the customer, what you expect from your employees as far as job-related activities, how you want your employees to handle complaints, personal grooming standards, and personal conduct to the customer and fellow employees. This is a one-page sheet which can affect your company's mission statement. Many companies spend lots of money and time developing a mission statement which no one ever reads once it's created. Your one-page mission statement can be something that everyone in your company has in front of them at all times. You can use the shortened phrases on your mission statement in your marketing and advertising efforts. For example, "We treat the customer with the utmost respect," found in your mission statement, can be shortened in your advertising to "You are number one with us." I have a mission statement in front of me from ABC Company, and we call it our customer mission statement. It's laminated, and it's in each truck out in the field, and has these listed points. We will treat all customers with the utmost respect. We will respect our customers' personal property. We will clean up after ourselves. We will explain all charges of the job. We will be on time, or we will call our customer if we are running late. We will not argue, defend, or complain to our customers. And lastly, we will keep ourselves as clean as possible and will present ourselves in a professional manner at all times. This is a simple customer mission statement that everybody in the company can read and learn. It's not a 15 or 20 page document. It's something that's easy to use, and it's something that you might want to give to each of your customers. In summary, so far we've taken you through the steps of developing a job hiring skills evaluation for yourself and your managers. We developed some job descriptions of each of the positions in your company that you want to fill. You've taken a job audit of each of the existing positions, and you've talked to your current employees to find out what they do and what they could use in a way of support and training to improve their job performance. And you've created a one-page mission statement that everybody in the company can read, understand, and promote to your customers. The big question, though, when you probably picked up this tape was, where do you find prospective employees? I wish I could say that there's a pool of qualified, able-bodied, willing-to-work people sitting out there waiting for you to call, But there isn't. We know darn well that the labor force is shrinking and fewer people are entering the service and trades industry. But where do you look? Well, the obvious place is to look at your competition. Who is working for your competitors? And do they have the qualifications you are looking for? One big problem with this approach is that your competition is doing the same thing to your company. They're checking out your people to see if you have anyone they would like to hire. Let's take a look at the standard places you would find employees, and then we'll give you some ideas. First place would be newspaper ads. Newspaper ads have been used for years with limited success. The first problem you incur is that everyone looking for a job will answer your ad, whether or not they have the qualifications. It's really hard to screen the applicants who answer an ad in a newspaper until you have opened the mail and taken the time to screen the resumes. This can be costly and frustrating at the same time. And newspaper ads are not inexpensive. To run an ad in the daily paper for 1 to 2 weeks can add up to hundreds of dollars. Look through the classifieds and count the number of ads you see for jobs related to the ones you're looking for. If there are not that many, you might want to consider another medium. When writing your ad, look at the other ads to see what works and what reads well. There's no use reinventing the wheel if someone has already written a good ad. Another place you can take a look are state employment agencies. While they do not have a great reputation for providing qualified tradespeople, they might be one of the last places you would think to look for. It does not hurt to get to know the people of the agency just in case they hear of someone who might be qualified to work at an entry-level position with your company. Another place to look are supply house ads. They're popular with contractors because your audience is who you're looking for. The technicians and installers meet at the counter to pick up supplies. They talk to each other and share the good and bad experiences they've had with the companies they work for. The one big disadvantage is that everyone knows you're looking for techs. If there's going to be a place for gossip to grow, the supply house is one of the first places it will start. Another place to look are trade schools and vocational tech schools. They're in the business of turning out trained technicians. During a 1 to 3 year program, students are introduced to the trades and the different types of work they'll perform. The one big problem arises when the students graduate. Many of these students feel that their training has opened the door for high-paying jobs. They do not realize that 1 to 3 years in the lab and the classroom provide limited experience to what they will face in the real world. Most contractors find that graduates of trade schools make good entry-level personnel. Their training helps prepare them for the industry, but it's the on-the-job training they receive that will sharpen their technical skills. Temporary agencies can provide warm bodies, but rarely do they provide qualified technicians and installers. However, there are temporary agencies that have a pool of personnel familiar with software and data processing computer programs. This resource can be used to fill in your office needs on a temporary basis. Trade newspapers and magazines are effective if you're conducting nationwide search. Ads in these sources are read by the people you're looking for. However, ads are expensive, and then once you have someone respond to your ad, you have to interview the respondent over the phone or fly them in to meet you. Recruiting agencies offer another resource for finding qualified candidates. They work on a contingency basis or a retainer, but they can cost you up to 30% of the wages you'll pay your employee the first year. College placement centers offer a pool of candidates with a strong educational background. Depending on your needs, college placement centers can produce a qualified list of potential employees. Professional trade associations offer lists of members and potential employees. Again, the benefit of drawing from this pool of applicants is the fact that the members are in the same business you are. Conferences and career fairs offer a large source of potential candidates. It's important to make your job descriptions as descriptive as possible, so that serious candidates know what you are looking for in the way of job qualifications. Purchasing a small company can provide you with a ready-made workforce along with a new customer base. The one problem is, will the technicians and installers stay with your company after you bought out the small company? It's to your benefit to interview the current employees to see if they plan on staying with your company. Military employment programs are a source of trained, qualified candidates for the service and trades industry. The government has spent their time and money training these people. They've had anywhere from 2 to 20 years experience working on the types of systems your company services and installs. They are used to working in a disciplinary atmosphere, and they respond to authority. Now, these are some of the traditional areas you can use to build your pool of applicants. There are two areas that you should consider first before you go to the expense of finding qualified applicants. First place is your employees. Your employees are the first source you consider when filling positions. Why? Because there may be someone who would love to work as a technician but who has never had the opportunity to interview for the position. Also, your employees may know of someone who would fit into your organization. This is why it's important to keep everyone in the loop when you're trying to fill a spot in your companies. If your employees are happy in their jobs, they are more likely to be willing to tell their friends about the great place they work. Your employees know a number of people who, while they may not work in the service and trades industry, They do have the people skills, the personality, and the mechanical aptitude to learn how to perform the job you have open. The second source you should consider is referrals from satisfied customers and other trades you may deal with. Let your customers know that you are looking for people who could be trained to be technicians, installers, and administrative personnel. You might be pleasantly surprised at the number of referrals you receive. And the third and the most important area is what we call observation prospecting. Everywhere you or your staff go, they should be looking for prospective employees. The waitress at the restaurant might be a perfect fit for your office. The young man who is currently working at the garage where you have your truck service might be a future technician. The polite lady who works at the flower shop may have a desire to work on computer processing programs. The point is this: do not shut out anyone who is not totally qualified to work in the industry you are involved in. No one was born into the service and trades industry knowing everything. All of us learn through school and on-the-job training. If you took the time to conduct a job audit and write a job description, then you have a good idea what characteristics you're looking for. Instead of trying to fit a round peg into a square hole, find the people who have the personality, desire, and human relation skills to make your company grow. The mechanical ability will come with time. When an employee leaves, for whatever reason, it disrupts the entire company. The natural inclination for owners and managers is to shoot from the hip and immediately try to find someone for the open position. This strategy leaves you open to more problems and heartbreak because you did not take the time to properly recruit and hire the new person. Instead of going through the process over and over again, take the time now to do the four major things presented in the tape. Number one, conduct an audit of your job hiring skills. Number two, develop a job description for each position in your company. Number three, take the time to speak with each of your employees to see what additions and changes they need to improve their job position. And number four, spend more time recruiting and spend it on a daily basis if possible. These four steps will keep you from having to scurry for help when someone leaves your company. The time you spend up front will pay enormous dividends down the road.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. A postage paid response card is also enclosed. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.